It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
How are you, Nancy? I'm chill right now.
Oh, are you?
I don't know. Why am I so calm?
I have no idea.
Is this not like me?
There's a lot going on. It is not like you. What's happening?
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
What's in your coffee cup?
Philip Sassano. What do you mean?
Is it coffee?
It is coffee. No, it's caffeinated. I mean, I'm caffeinated up. I'm just
so weird.
Yeah, I'm just feeling pretty good. Show brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply. You can also listen to us on Spotify. How you been? I heard rumors that there's flooring happening at your house.
Tomorrow.
Is that happening? Wow.
Yes. So
what kind of flooring? For those of you who don't know, let's catch you all up. Nancy is remodeling a historic home, middle 1800s. Is that right?
Yep. No, it was built in 1880.
Late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And you're completely gutting it and remodeling
part of it. So the original part of the house, the part that was built in 1880, is perfect. We are not having to remodel any of that. And even if we did, you will have to take me kicking and screaming.
Sure.
It's the back part of the house that was built in 1930 or so.
Are you blending the floors?
Yes. Okay. Well, yes. Yes, kind of. I mean, okay. In the kitchen, that's going to be tough to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm basically, I'm keeping the original floors. Like they're gorgeous. And so anyway, I have said all
along.
Oh, by
flooring guy, you don't mean new flooring. You mean refinishing guy.
No, the upstairs bathroom and the downstairs bathroom and the kitchen all have to have new floors.
Okay. Understood.
So if I can just get one bathroom going with hot water and a shower and a sink, can live there. Like, I don't care if there's a kitchen. It doesn't need a kitchen. That's what Moy's and someplace else and, Pizza Ranch and everything else.
I understand where you're at now.
He's coming tomorrow to do the floor, and you would be very proud of me.
Okay.
On what I have chosen for this bathroom.
Okay, go.
Well, I have...
Everyone's waiting with bated breath.
Yes,
I can feel the anticipation coming from reverse microphone.
I have picked out this beautiful, what I consider to be, it's a patterned tile.
Oh, I'm proud.
Are you happy?
Yeah, very nice. Very vintage but current.
Yes, my husband thinks it's too busy, and I said...
Of course he does.
Get out of my bathroom. So what you have to remember about this, but I'm going to use, and if you look at that pattern, I'm going to use black, jet black grout.
Fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it'll make it pop.
Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous.
Love it.
So what it is it's this
contrast
white tile.
Is king there.
Yeah, white tile, and it's got some gray pattern and a black kind of flower pattern in it, and it's just gorgeous. And it's 8x8 tile.
And it's nice because it's one of those patterns that's both sort of nostalgic throwback, but done in a current way.
Exactly. My friend Amy said that she saw the same tile in a Parade of Homes house in a laundry room, and she said it was stunning.
Yeah.
So I was like, done. Okay, good.
Oh, it's exciting to see you excited.
Yeah. And then I'm
because it's not it's hard to get excited about stuff behind the wall like plumbing,
right?
And electrical boxes and whether or not you can put an electrical box,
below a bathroom.
We're not going there.
It's not a thing.
It's
not a thing. So. Yeah, so then it's going to have beadboard around the bottom of the wall.
Beautiful.
And then a chair rail because...
Are you going to paint the beadboard gray?
I'm going to paint the beadboard is going to be white.
Okay.
And then I have that... remember the wallpaper that I painted in the bedroom?
Yeah.
I'm bringing that into the end
walls. So you're talking about the anaglypta.
Yes.
The textured wallpaper from England.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting that.
Well, I don't know if it's
there.
From England
it's
anymore.
It's not from England.
That's where it was inspired.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It looks like it's from England.
Embossed wallpaper for
exactly.
those of you who are keeping score at home from a design perspective. Yes.
And then the trim around the bottom of the room and that chair rail is going to be black.
Sounds going to be pretty.
And then the fixtures are also going to be black.
Wow.
So
you're going to go, you're going a little bit like neo-nostalgic current.
A little bit, because remember the tub in this room is a clawfoot tub.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
That I painted black on the outside and then everything. So it will all go very well together, and I'm very happy with myself, by the way.
And guess what? You didn't do it on Redecor. You did it in real life.
No, I just practiced on Redecor. No, I'm just kidding.
But for those of you who don't know, we've had this longstanding, well, this is going years back now, where Nancy would be so proud of her creations on an app called Redecor.
It's a game.
That kept points. For how, and then you compete, you had the nerve to compete against other people for imaginary designs that you would do. Oh, God. And it just, it made my blood boil every Sunday coming to the air and having her talk about Redecor. I'm just glad you're doing it in real life.
Is real life, yes.
Speaking of real life, summer is upon us.
Shocking.
Oh, it's so great.
I mean, it's dang near half over.
It's so great. And it's been so awesome to blink and have it be here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about anybody else in the other part of the country, but man, did it go from, I mean, it went from being like kind of chilly here in the Midwest to in the upper Midwest, at least where we are, you know, Chicago's, you know, southern Wisconsin area, to just like 98 degrees.
No, it was more like 170.
I mean, it was crazy hot. And it just sort of flipped the switch, which is great for all things lake life. And for those of you who don't know, our design firm has a hub of activity around the Geneva Lakes area. This is like 4th of July weekend is like their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
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 Especially with such a, because summering here is a sport.
Oh, sure.
They're serious about summering.
Uh-huh, professionally.
Because you just don't know how long your seasons are going to last.
Right.
So you go.
Yeah, it is a crapshoot in Wisconsin.
It is. And you go all in. And I do really love the amount of like unrealistic enthusiasm that there is for summer. It doesn't really, you know what I mean? It's almost like this time of year hits and it's like spring break.
Yeah. Right.
Like all of a sudden, you know, like you're shirtless in your random car that doesn't have a sunroof, but you're shirtless anyway. And you're, you know what I mean? And you're, and maybe you shouldn't be, but you are anyway. And your windows are down. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. It's just like people seem to throw a lot of caution to the wind. I just love the unbridled enthusiasm for this particular season. And speaking of this season, I have a topic that I wanted to discuss. And I'm sorry, Nancy, I have to apologize to you in advance because I did not bring any samples with me today. I probably will next week because it's, you know, technically this is the weekend, obviously, before the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
But I think next week's show, we'll do some tastings based on some of the things that I'm going to talk about today. It's been a while since I've done some coaching on cocktails, and I want to actually start that as it relates to sort of creating what I believe to be these beverage stations is the best way that I'm going to sort of refer to them. And interestingly enough, it's been a topic of conversation with a lot of my clients lately, and not only the ones who live, you know, by a lake, but also ones who just want to enjoy the outdoors.
Right.
You know, it's been interesting to sort of watch the, I don't know, I've just been watching the trend meter and just getting myself like wild laughs about it because everyone who listens to the show knows how I feel about trends. Like I just threw up in my mouth a little bit, but they're just like, it just drives me crazy. And one of the ones that just came up was carpet on the ceiling, making a comeback from House Beautiful.
No.
Carpet making a comeback.
No.
Time out. Hold on. Okay. I don't know how far back you have to go, but they referenced like the Middle East on where that is a common textile that will be used to soften the sound in other areas of the world. And I was like, are you joking? Like carpet on the ceilings. And they said, well, whoa, before you judge. I'm like,
We're judging.
Is legitimately all I needed to hear.
Yep, we're judging.
Right? I mean, why don't we just plant grass inside of our house? Right? With full of dirt, you know?
A beach.
Before you rule it out, think sod in your solarium, right? Like, wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute. I know enough to know when materials are just not supposed to be applied that way.
Yeah.
And I did read the article, and I still thought it was semi-ridiculous. But speaking of, anyway, summer trends, one of them is lemonade. And I will tell you, I want to deconstruct for everyone today not only this beverage center area, but I want to deconstruct the way we use different spirits to create different types of lemonades.
Hmm.
as a way for you to not only introduce them as an alcoholic beverage for adults and please consume responsibly, but also as mocktails. You know, increasingly, it's been very popular to you know, a lot of people are just shedding alcohol altogether.
Yeah.
I would not be one of those people. although I do drink it in moderation, I do understand the lower sugar.
Right.
Like, I do understand the no alcohol. Like, I get all of that. And I think, a, you know, clean lifestyle, all the power
but
to
But that
you.
Doesn't
and
mean you're great. Giving up flavor.
Doesn't mean you're giving up flavor. And what if you like the taste of alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing all of these studies now that are sort of a little bit all over the map, right? Like, all of a sudden wine is good and not good, and then all of a sudden alcohol is bad, and now it's really bad, right? It's like, well,
whatever.
You know, I mean, I guess anything.
I think that's opinion.
I think it's, but I also think that there's a moderation, right?
I don't think that's scientific fact.
Who knows? I mean, at this juncture, you know, I'm sure we're going to be finding out a lot of really crazy things. also that AI robots have decided to are capable of overriding and sacrificing humans and disobeying orders directly, which scared the crap out of me this week too. Anyway, I'm not going out on an AI tangent. Where I'm going to stay is I'm going to stay traditional. I'm going to stay in the pocket, and I'm going to stay in the pocket of summer and all of the amazing things that sort of come with, right? The exploration of lemonade, beverage centers, and the ultimate experience inside and out. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, also available on Spotify and brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply. Listen, summering in the Midwest, especially in the part of the country where we are, we have expressed that it is a sport. We take it very seriously here, as we should, because we never know exactly how short or long the seasons are going to be. One of the things that I wanted to do in my dissection or my anatomy of the perfect lemonade is to talk about the different flavor profiles we've been using, because one of the things that you may or may not know about what we do is we do at The Design Coach, we have literally three different legs to our business.
Okay. Right.
One is 90% of our builds start as a design build relationship.
Right.
Clients are trying to create something, remodel something special. In most cases, it is, I would say, a very one-of-a-kind, very special heirloom legacy project. And it's done, we're doing these projects for clients across the country. And that's how 90% of our relationships start, is in the design build realm. If we do our job correctly, we are then lucky enough and invited then to transform the home into the design and decoration. We're one of the only firms that really separates design build and that as a separate discipline into the layering of the space,
right,
with what we call substance and soul, along with your story. And that's the decorative piece, right?
Right.
So we do all of those things for clients, and then we get into this lifestyle piece, which is where the relationship gets to be advanced and enhanced beyond the design, which we're so excited about. The fact that this model is absolutely 100% just taking off. Clients are realizing our firm is the best fit to maintain the lifestyle and maintain the home.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, they welcome the creativity and the ingenuity that we bring to giving them and creating and exposing them to offerings they might not search on their own.
Right.
That's the spirit of today's show.
You open the door.
Yeah, that's where this particular topic in the lineage of kind of what our service arc looks like and what we are at The Design Coach, you can firmly put this in the bucket of the lifestyle camp.
Right.
All right. In that effort to support our clients from a lifestyle perspective, we have created hundreds of different cocktails over, I don't know, Nancy, what has it got to be now?
A couple years
at least, yeah. Where we really started creating mm-hmm. the menus, especially right. putting together menus for the special events like 25th anniversary parties, engagement parties, you know, small family group gatherings.
Everybody loves a good theme.
Everybody loves a good theme. And a lot of times the cocktails and the beverage are great, Ray, as we talked about a few shows ago, to enhance that theme.
Right.
I'm going to give you guys throughout the course of today's show really good advice and some really good guidance on how to do it, but also make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to take it next level, how to do that as well and what that looks like. Right?
Right.
Like, do you remember, I mean, I do. Do you remember, obviously, most people in the Midwest, it's very popular, very common. opening up a lemonade stand.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember how you made your lemonade? Like, how did you make your lemonade?
Well, from a powder.
Yeah, a powder, like a Weiler's back in the day, or like a whatever, right?
Lots of sugar.
What was the old time, old fashioned? It was in the yellow can.
Country Time.
Country Time, mm-hmm. Thank you. Country Time lemonade, right? So it was, and I don't know about you, but my mother would buy it in like, this thing was like the size of a gallon of powder.
I don't think
it was. Does that sound about right?
I don't think it was well.
I don't know. I remember ours being pretty
big thing. Yeah, with the plastic lid.
Yeah,
scoop.
I think my mom was using it as a way to very efficiently just sugar us up and send us outside.
And keep you outside, right.
Yeah, like she wasn't going to give us desserts all day, but it's like, here's some really jacked up lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like with alcohol. I just mean like.
That came later.
Just with sugar and like, you know, go run around outside. It was easy. It was fun. It was a fun thing to do for the kids.
Right.
I will say to you that that's one way to go, but I don't love the powdered lemonades.
No.
I just don't. So I'm not saying that you can't use it. I'm just saying that I think we can elevate that for the purposes of today's conversation. So first is don't love the powder. If you want to do that and you want to dump it in like the athletic cooler.
And the Gatorade cooler.
I'm not kidding you. Like you know what I mean? You're at a family reunion. You know what I mean? That's perfect for that kind of activity.
Yep, with the spout, okay. The spigot.
Yes, and in which case, if you know, I have also been to the family gatherings where there's the one that's the blue cooler, that's the one not for kids, and it says not for kids, and then there's the lemonade for kids, right? And it's orange, all right? And the blue one probably has some alcohol in it, like vodka or, God forbid, even Everclear, which I have seen people put in these lemonades.
That's a family reunion.
That's not.
That's a family reunion.
Yeah, sometimes you need a little something sometimes you need a little something to get through it. I understand
it.
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not discounting any of that. But what I am saying is that for the purposes of today's show and the design coach, we are going to elevate, okay, a little bit of our understanding of what that means. From a flavor profile perspective.
Do you have a lemonade that you recommend, though?
I do. I'm going to tell you what I like about it. I like Simply Lemonades.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I have tried a lot. Listen, I've done a lot of experimentation at my bar, which, by the way, is affectionately called The Lab. That's my bar at my house.
Yeah.
And it's named after my dog, who's no longer with us. God rest his soul, Cody, the lab, right? Like the original lab where I go in, and I have done this now for a few years, where I experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably throw out more alcohol than I probably drink, to be quite candid with you.
Whoa.
Not that I serve, but that I drink personally.
Oh,
because I do a lot of experimentation on the flavor profiles to just sort of test things out based like much like a cook would in a kitchen.
Right.
You know, let's try some things and see if we can get it to work.
Right. Yeah, it's not like when you're experimenting, you're not making this by pitcher.
No.
I mean,
well, although we're going to talk to you how to do that too.
Well, I mean, when you're experimenting, you're not doing it. You're, mm-hmm. you know, you wait and make the pitcher when you perfected
the recipe. Yeah. So unlike the proportions of regular cocktails where, you know, it's like a 2-1-2 mm-hmm. is kind of like the is the ratio of spirit to sweet to savory and salty and sour and all that kind of good stuff. And we're not going to get into cocktail 101 right now because I don't know that I agree with a lot of some of that. I do believe that it is about chemistry, but I also believe that more importantly than chemistry, it's actually just about taste.
Right.
And that everyone's taste profile picks up something different, and that the greatest cocktails, the best cocktails, are the ones that the bartender or the person serving them, the host and hostess, can manipulate to be able to better suit the palate of the guest.
Right.
I just really believe that that's a fun thing to do.
Right.
I have served many a drink at my family gatherings where I have said, if you don't like it, please send it back and let's figure out your profile. Especially when I was first starting doing cocktails, it was very beneficial because I was learning, you know, they like booze forward and they don't like it very sweet and they like it dry. And now when I look at my bar and I create new cocktails for my family and also for the people who, you know, whose homes we design, we actually mm-hmm. design custom menus for their bars.
Right.
I have an understanding of my clients and my family's taste profiles.
Right.
Okay. That said, we're going to try to put in play today a number of recommendations that sort of allow you to do some manipulation in a minor way, if you want.
Right.
Because I'm going to give you the easy cheat code on how to do that. And then at the same time, if you just want to be able to have what I would call a more robust lemonade. I like lemonades that give you both a sweet note and a pretty good sour note.
Right.
If it's too sweet, I feel like it loses the term lemonade.
Right. That's Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Right. You see what I'm saying? It has a little bit of it nods a little bit. So we have to watch for that. So the reason, one of the things I like about Simply Lemonade is that I found that I can water it if I need to, and I can cut it.
Right.
And it doesn't have a concentrate vibe that some of the other lemonades might have, where like if you poured it straight, you're like, ah,
right.
Right. Almost needs to be watered down.
Right.
Almost
like lemon juice.
Almost like they expect you to water it down.
Right.
Whereas in this instance, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. In my estimation, the perfect lemonade, and we're just going to take not strawberry lemonade and not, like, we're not going to go flavored yet. We'll do that in segment three.
Okay.
But we're just taking pure regular lemonade, has a combination of really three main ingredients. Okay. One thing that I love in it is I love freshly cut lemons. Okay. Full slices of freshly cut lemons that just sit in there. Okay. They just sit in there.
Right.
And then I like to be able to cut the Simply Lemonade with about a 4-to-1 ratio. So four parts lemonade.
Right.
And then one part water.
Okay.
Okay. What that tends to do is it tends to take a little bit of the bite out that may exist, and then also sets the stage for some of the other ingredients that I might want to add that add to the complexity of the profile.
Right.
Okay. Remember, these drinks, when you pour it out of the can or bottle or whatever, the plastic bottle, it's done to the taste of the manufacturer's specifications on, like, oh no, this is what this is supposed to taste like with their ratio.
Right.
My sense is that's not intended to be mixed with alcohol, so they don't take all of that sweet into consideration. So, right.
And it's mass produced.
Right. And that's where the cutting of it comes in. And sometimes I will up that depending on what I'm putting in it. Okay. So let's just say you've got your lemonade pitcher. Okay.
Right.
And what I like to do is we are going to talk in terms of pitcher size, because I feel like it is very cumbersome to have to make lemonade drinks for everyone. You end up playing bartender instead of being a host or hostess.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you in advance to make multiple pitchers, at least two prior, not too much prior, because then it gets all watered down.
Right.
Okay. I'm also going to encourage you that when you make them in a pitcher, buy a pitcher where there's an open lid. This is a common mistake that I see made from a lot of people, because what ends up happening is you pour it.
Right.
And then what gets poured into the glass? Extra ice, the cut lemons get in there, and it just gets sloppy.
Right.
I have found these awesome plastic tumblers, and they're not hard to find, and there's a few companies that make them where they have the lid where it catches the ice and the fruit, and it keeps the ice and the fruit inside.
Yeah.
Okay. That's basically just a pitcher with a lid.
Right.
Great. I like ones that are clear, not ones that are frosted or opaque where I can't really tell how much is in there. I like to be able to see what the heck's going on in my thing. Yeah.
Right.
And it looks pretty.
Yeah.
And these days with, you know, a lot of the acrylic tumblers, they last, they're dishwasher safe. They don't cloud like they used to. And I think it's a great way to go.
Right.
And it's inexpensive. So first advice I would do is get yourself the right pitcher, especially for what I'm talking about today. When you've cut up all the lemons and you've done all of the rest of the homework, I'm gonna tell you what I like about lemon and a great compliment. I do like adding in a pitcher of lemonade about 4 to 6 ounces of lime juice.
Ooh.
I feel like that's the sweet balance without adding sugar that will also isn't quite as tart. Or it's not quite as hard. So that's why you'll see in popular drinks, let's just say like 7-Up or Sprite or something, you know, it's a combination.
Yeah.
Lemon-lime.
Yeah.
They're a wonderful compliment, but when you think lemonade, you don't think about adding that.
No, you don't.
It's with that base of a little bit of lime juice, lemon, water, and freshly cut lemons that when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about where that base goes, okay? With a million spirits, you might not have even thought about adding, and it's the start to an amazing summer. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sasana, brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply and available on Spotify. Listen, so we're talking about Ultimate Summer Lemonades, and in the last segment I talked about the base. Quick recap, fresh lemons, Full lemons, guys. Okay, full lemons.
Mm-hmm. Full lemon slices.
Full lemon slices.
Don't just drop the lemon in there.
Do the work. Also, pitchers that allow the ice and all of the accoutrements that you have floating in this thing to be able to stay in the pitcher. Okay, so the open pitchers, I'm not a huge fan of. Okay. When you cut it 4-1, mm-hmm. four parts lemonade right out of the can or right out of the bottle, cut it with a little bit of water. I encourage you to, I would say, flavor to taste with lime juice.
Sure.
Here's where it falls apart for me a little bit.
Okay.
When we start using, because here's the natural go-to for every lemonade, it's vodka.
Oh.
Now, listen.
It's generic.
Every mixologist on the planet will tell you it's the most boring spirit of all time. In its most glorious form, it's tasteless, colorless, right? Totally flavorless and not that interesting. The upshot is vodka needs help. Okay?
Right.
Okay. Because it's just designed to be wildly effective.
Right.
Like, vodka is just designed to be wildly effective. It's not designed, right, to be anything other than effective.
Right.
And
it does work.
And it works, right? Now, in order to compete in the world of flavored spirits,
right,
it's been very popular for now vodka brands to be like, oh my gosh, like, we can't keep out clearing and tastelessing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Enter in then the flavored vodka.
Right. Now we've got cherry vodka and blueberry and vanilla and everything.
I am letting you know that any varietal of flavored vodka, and I don't care what it is, okay? I don't care if it's cucumber mint. I don't care if it's peach blossom cherry. I don't care what it is, okay? That when you go back in and you add it, it is two parts to the four parts. So if it's four parts lemonade, it's two parts alcohol.
Okay.
Okay, it's almost like you got to make sure it's mostly lemonade.
Exactly.
Okay? Now, caution. I just gave you the cheat code to making a lemonade everyone will love, and it doesn't really matter what vodka you put in it.
Right.
I will tell you that if you put just vodka in it, I think that you're missing something.
Sure.
So if you're going to go the vodka route, just do something interesting. That's all I ask at the Design Coach, is don't make it boring. Okay?
I mean, you just get, like you said, you gave the perfect recipe for the perfect lemonade base to start with. Why would you not take it up a notch?
Yeah.
With a flavored vodka instead of just plain vodka.
I am a fan of hints. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
If I take my regular vodka that's just tasteless, odorless, and clear and boring and effective, and then I pair that with my flavored vodka that I think is really cool, I can do a 1-to-1 ratio. And then you get a hint. You get a hint of the flavor. You get a hint of the mint. And you get a hint of the cucumber. And you get all of those things. If you're going to do that, add the garnish in the lemonade that accentuates that. So.
Right.
If you're gonna use mint and cucumber vodka, smash some mint, espresso the mint in your hands. All you have to do is smash it to get mm-hmm. the oil to come to the surface. Throw that in there like a sangria, and then you throw in some cucumbers in there,
right?
And then that just all that does is enhance with a natural element the flavor.
And it's pretty.
It's pretty. It's a no brainer.
Right. Easy.
If you do peach blossom, get some peaches. Throw it in there.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious, but here's
but
the, how many times do you go to a party where so many people, and remember, the alcohol and the beverages are part of the experience.
As
you have, if you're looking to elevate this, stop handing me a solo cup of yellow liquid. Okay? So here's the lesson with vodka if it needs help. It is so charming to be able to pre-make some of your garnishes for lemonades.
Right.
Again, you can take a nice bamboo skewer. You can buy those on Amazon, and you can skewer your peach, your cherry, right? A little lemon wedge, and you throw that in after you pour the lemonade.
Pretty.
Okay?
Yeah.
Over ice. I like it over ice. Mm-hmm. But don't let the ice clumsily spill out of the pitcher and blah, 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 gurgle all over your...
Right. Like, that's not what that ice is
be
for.
Be a human being and get a pitcher with a top. Okay? Okay,
also
and
it's
let's just not be it, just Do me a favor. Let's level up, people. We're just leveling up on lemonades today on the Design
Class
Coach.
Class it up.
All right? Level up a little bit, okay? So here's what I need you to do. What I need you to do is think about the garnishes, mm-hmm. okay? Not only because it looks pretty in the picture, but the garnish alone, that effort alone makes it feel like you're handing someone something special.
Yeah. True. Just the extra step.
That's all it is.
Step.
And it's so easy. It's so easy to do. And actually, it's so fun to do. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to share with you a derivative, one derivative only, on the vodka side that is really, really a big hit. You take the base vodka or the base lemonade that I talked about, and you can add into it red, white, and berry vodka.
Ooh.
From Smirnoff.
Uh-huh.
It tastes a little bit like a bomb pop.
Yeah,
from when
I've
we
heard
were
that.
Kids,
uh-huh.
right? And then I throw in this, a little bit of hint of blue curacao, which just turns it blue.
Yeah.
And we call it the blue Hawaiian. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It'll turn it a little bit of green. The base for this is strawberry lemonade.
Okay.
Okay? Versus regular lemonade.
Okay.
So I will throw in there blueberries, strawberries. I will throw in there all of those things, and it's sort of a super patriotic lemonade.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
And I call it the Blue Hawaiian, mm-hmm. okay, in honor of that state, because it looks Hawaiian to
yeah.
me. Okay, that's
Aww.
Just what I call it. And I've been serving this around the Geneva Lakes area for this one family in particular. It's their favorite thing, and I have never seen this stuff go down faster. But I will tell you that that's one derivative off of a base where you're like, okay, I'm changing the Simply Lemonade from regular lemonade to strawberry lemonade. Great. I know to just follow the paint by number and add strawberries and add blueberries and
right.
the vodka. It's in the same percentages. And you can't go wrong.
It's not hard.
It's not hard. In addition, if you don't add any alcohol, okay, you can serve all of that as a regular lemonade.
Right.
Okay? So you can make a non-alcoholic version that tastes really good too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can still add the garnish. What I like is if you're going to serve mocktails, don't just be like, here's your mocktail. Okay? Like
right.
That's how I hear it in my head.
Make him guess.
Because I'd rather make you a
Keep
cocktail than a mocktail. But I understand if you want a mocktail. But no, but they don't deserve any less of an experience because they're being served a mocktail.
Of course.
Okay? Level up, people. Elevate your game. All I'm asking for is for you to cut fruit and kebab it. Like, I couldn't make this any simpler for you guys if I tried, okay? You know, short of me coming over and doing it for you, okay? Like, this is so easy, all right? But as we extrapolate lemonades into other spirits, I think it gets very interesting because this is where you can begin to mix a couple of things that I think are fun. My family's a particular fan of the Arnold Palmer, which is where you take the base lemonade and then you add iced tea.
Right.
Okay? What I love is that if you get an unsweetened tea, don't use sweetened tea in the lemonade. It gets really sugary.
Okay.
So if you're going to make Arnold Palmer, start with your base lemonade exactly the way that I talked about, 4-to-1 to water. Still add the lime juice. You still want that thick citrus.
Sure.
That's the flavor profile I'd like to leave with everybody. Like, the lemonade should sit on your tongue. You should feel it.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the crystals that you didn't mix because you couldn't mix it long enough. Okay, that we used as a kid. That's why I like Simply Lemonade. Shake it up.
You're supposed to be able to chew your lemonade.
Yeah, you should be able to chew your lemonade. Okay.
So, that's supposed to happen.
I mean, unless you like it that way, and then I'll figure that out too. Okay. But when you add the Arnold Palmer into the mix, you can't add it at a 50-50 ratio. You can't add 4-to-4. I don't like a 4-to-4. I actually like the lemonade to dominate more than the iced tea.
Ah, okay.
I like the iced tea to be a little bit more of a flavor add than a dominant feature. So I will go like 4-to-3, 3-to-4.
Right.
That's sort of my middle ground. I will let the lemonade come through. If not, it feels like you're just drinking lemon sweetened tea.
Right.
And the whole point of an Arnold Palmer is to feel that blend. Sometimes I feel like the 50-50 mix misses a little bit, so I like to downplay a little bit of the tea.
Sure.
Okay? In order to do that, I don't really care what tea you use, but I will tell you there is no substitute for steeping it.
Sure, and
using a tea that you really love.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, I've used all types of teas in an Arnold Palmer, and it's a really great add. So if you like a little bit of spearmint in your Arnold Palmer. That's fun. A little chamomile in your tea. That's a little bit on the lighter side. I think it's fun to experiment with actually using freshly brewed teas.
Sure.
Not that I'm saying that you can't go out and you can't get your standard lemonade and, or your standard iced tea and use that. You can. I just think that making tea is such an easy thing.
Sure.
But the more tea bags you steep, the stronger it's going to be. Don't short sheet it on the tea bags.
Okay.
Like, you know, I find that tea bags are a little bit light on what I believe the potency really ought to be.
Okay.
So I tend to almost add, I double up sometimes if I'm steeping it, like, for myself. In fact,
right.
When I drink my own tea, I use two tea bags instead of using one.
I don't think that's a lot, though.
No, it's not, but I just, I like it. I like to taste.
You like it.
I don't want flavored water.
Right.
I want tea.
Right.
So you have to remember that if you don't actually add the potency into the ingredients, you're going to miss something in the overall mix, okay? When I said to you all at the start of the show that I was really going to take a deep dive on lemonades, I am. Because what I love is I love that you can make more than one. One of the things that I talked about when I started the show is this beverage station.
Right.
What I love as an easy summer add is a beverage station that has your classic water, soda, beer, right?
Sure.
Even a little non-alcoholic beer off to the side.
Sure.
For those of you who like that. And I like that to be in this station. And then I like three lemonades. Okay?
Yep.
3 to 4 lemonades.
Yeah.
Different flavor profiles, different tastes. Okay? There is nothing easier than, there's nothing easier and more enjoyable than walking in as a guest and seeing that someone took the time to create a beverage station that looks curated.
Ah, yeah. That's true.
Versus like, oh yeah, everything that you want to drink is over on the counter.
Yeah, in a gallon jug.
Like it's over by the counter. And you sort of threw it on the counter like you were bringing it in from the grocery store. Okay, be better. Be better this summer. Just remember I told you I was going to be calm. I'm so not.
You're not.
But like, be better. Be better.
Can I just ask a side question?
Always.
So we went through this period of time where we all spent a whole lot of time at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of people maximized their outdoor space during that period of time.
Well, you'd hope.
And they added on or they did, you know, a new porch, patio kind of thing, whatever. How many people do you think thought ahead and put something like that in that plan, like a beverage station?
Ooh, me in the front. Every one of my clients.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Right. However, we are finding that those stations aren't really talked about.
Right.
Because the tendency is to make it all about booze. And it's not.
Right.
It's not about the booze. It's about self-service. Let me describe for you what the greatest spaces do as we relate this topic to design, because it is the Design Coach Radio Show. It is about allowing your guests to be a part of it and to experience it without you having to serve them all the time.
Yeah.
Where can I find this? You can find it in there, and it's easy for them to grab. I'm going to give you an example. We do auxiliary bars, which is like bars outside of the bars.
Right.
So it's almost like a buffet,
right,
where there's refrigeration, and that's where we put drinks that are just the drinks that you're smash and grab, meaning
right.
Like I just want a beer, I just want a soda, I just want a craft beer, I got a cold glass, and then there's the cocktail bar and the wine bar.
Right.
Right. Although sometimes we put the wine over there because wine is also very easily self-served. All of the self-serve non-complex cocktail beverages or non-alcoholic beverages go over there. What that does is very similar to what happens in a kitchen. It keeps people out of my bar.
Right.
You want that stuff? It's over there. Go serve yourself.
Right.
Right? You don't need me. Okay? You don't need me to do that. However, the beverage station, if you can even put out the garnishes, I find people will start garnishing their own mocktail.
Sure.
Because it's fun and festive, and you
right.
want to eat the fruit.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it becomes a fun thing. As we come up against the end of segment 3, okay, we're going to have to bump this thing into segment 4 regarding how you introduce other spirits into the mix, because I'm going to tell you, that's going to change your understanding of a summer lemonade more than you could possibly imagine, and maybe make you fall in love with alcohol and types of alcohol either you haven't tried, fell out of love with, or maybe even have an aversion to. Stay with us. You're listening to the Design Coach Radio.
Right,
welcome back, everyone. You're listening to segment number 4 of the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Also available for listening anytime, anywhere on Spotify and brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply. Okay, so Nancy, on this odyssey of lemonade in summer, we've given you the recipe for the perfect lemonade.
Okay.
We have also then told you how you can add different varietals of vodka. obviously, with then the associated garnish to accentuate it. We've even given you some tips and tools on the right pitcher to use.
Right.
And then we just made the introduction last segment to the Arnold Palmer, which is adding in the iced tea.
Right.
Okay. This is where it gets really interesting. Okay. I love, 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 love different types of spirits in my lemonade. Now, have you ever had a Pimm's cup?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know what Pimm's? Yeah, I know what Pimm's
cup
is, yeah.
is basically the English version of a sangria.
Right.
For lack of a better term, it's just a hodgepodge of different citrus, all mixed together, and it's a traditional English summer drink.
And Pimm's has a very unique taste.
100%.
On it, but it's wonderful. It's very good. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Now, yes. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a cheat on this in segment four, because I'm not going to go to the advanced level lemonade. That's like, you might as well just make a cocktail at that point.
Right.
So I've got to keep it relatively simple so you can absolutely add into the mix flavors that I think are complementary.
Sure.
If you then take the number of Simply lemonades that are out there, and you go, grapefruit is one of them that's out there. Strawberry is another one that's out there. There's also like a limeade. They make mm-hmm. a limeade. There's another. If you take any of those and add vodka, you're set.
Right.
Okay. You're good to go. And you match the fruits with what's on the label. And you like literally cannot go wrong.
Right.
When you start to add in the browns. Okay.
Okay.
That's the whiskey and rum.
Right.
Or you start to add in the gin or tequila.
Okay.
So we're talking vodka's done. We're done with vodka.
Done with vodka.
I'm going to tell you that the flavor profiles of tequila lemonades are such an interesting move there to be made because of the mezcal mesquite barbecue-esque flavor profile of the smokiness.
Okay.
And I would encourage you to try a tequila lemonade.
Huh.
That has, I would say, one part mezcal, one part tequila in the mix.
Ah, okay.
It's a smokier version of a lemonade.
Huh.
And it is a fantastic sip.
A surprisingly fantastic bet.
Because here's the thing. The greatest thing is you already have what is, in essence, sweet and sour already ready to go.
Right.
In your lemonade. You've already made a sour mix. A lemonade is basically one big sour mix. Okay.
Right.
So when you add in modifiers, like not modifiers, but two base spirits, although the argument could be made mezcal is kind of a modified version of that.
Right.
If you add in mezcal, and listen, different mezcals have a smokiness to them. And a lot of people don't like them straight. And I get that. It's just too much.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people are tequila purists, right? But they're also the ones that are still going for like the pure taste of tequila. That in and of itself has become very boring to me. Like, I'm drinking clean. It's still tequila. I get that it's clean. But could we add something to it that makes it a little bit of something, right? Can we just try a little bit? So I do like, as it relates to tequila, I do like the mezcal push. That's sort of my recommendation for those white liquors.
Right.
Okay? Those clearer liquors. Now listen, in tequila, you can add lots of things too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can make that into a really fun strawberry margarita and not add the mezcal. And you can make that into a strawberry blueberry, tequila lemonade, which is awesome.
Mango.
You can add mango. I mean, you can pretty much do whatever you want with tequila,
right?
And you're going to be fine. It's gin where it gets a little different. Okay, so let's go to gin.
Okay.
Handle tequila, I want to go specifically to gin. What I like about gin is, for those of you who don't know, it's basically a base alcohol like vodka, just like strained through different botanicals and juniper.
Okay.
And so you know, that's how you come up with the different profiles of gin. It's the same stuff. I mean, it's basically distilled the same way as vodka is distilled. And then the additional flavors are infused into it, and that's how it becomes gin. Okay.
Oh.
There are other nuances. We're not going to get into them today. There are other nuances, but that's like your Reader's Digest version. Or your Cliff Notes, if you will. Okay? Okay. Or your Wikipedia. I don't care. Whatever it is that you use to shortcut your information, AI, this is what you got. Okay. I digress. When it comes to gin, gin's a little bit more complex because of the juniper flavoring, okay? What I like to do is I like to sweeten my gin a little bit more. So if I'm ever going to do a gin lemonade, I'm already going to get a little bit of the bitterness from the floral sometimes and the gin taste in general.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I have won over many a gin weary crowd by adding gin into the lemonade with a couple of variations. I'm going to tell you what works well with gin.
Okay.
When I use gin in a lemonade, I like to, because it has a little bit more bitter, I got to add more sweet. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I typically will use a little bit more of a sweetener. And one of the sweeteners that I like to use beyond just the simple syrup is I like to use a Demerara syrup, which is like a more of like a browner syrup.
Okay.
Or even an agave, like an agave honey.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
It tends to smooth it out. Now, people have been adding this to drinks and tequila a lot because it's the agave honey, but that agave sweetener honey with the gin, I find is a really great combo.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So if you think about it, I've got the lime, I've got the lemon, and I've got a really, 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 really great base on the lemonade. I'm adding the gin that bittered it up a little bit. Yeah. I got to cut it back.
Right.
So I'm cutting it back with a natural sweetener. And then from there, from the gin drink, I can kind of go into a couple different areas. And the one add that I like is to make this one sparkling.
Ooh.
Gin is a very effervescent type of spirit. Like you can smell gin early.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes people who have an aversion to gin will just smell gin and be like, oop, nope.
Right.
Like, I'm good. Like they have that, like whatever that is, that internal like, nope, like, you know, like college flashback comes back and you're just out. You know what
Which
I mean?
Which you would think would be vodka, but no.
I don't know. Again, it's tasteless and clear, so it can sneak up on you. Whereas gin doesn't do that. Gin announces its presence, right? So what I like to do is I like to add a little bit of bubbly into it. Okay, let me tell you what I like to use. I like to use San Pellegrino's citrus flavored Pellegrinos. Okay, one of them is called Lemonada. Okay.
Okay.
And I will put a can of Lemonada as just the bubbly in one pitcher, and what it does is it enhances the gin, raises the sweet and the sour profile, and makes it more of a fun experience. And I will be honest with you, you taste the gin, but it doesn't overpower.
Interesting.
And it's a very full-bodied citrus. What I mean by that is, you know there's alcohol. You don't necessarily define it as gin.
Right.
You can use a floral. I don't care if it's Botanist, which is relatively clean, or Hendrix, which is relatively botanical. You can use either one of those, and you're still going to like it. But if you don't add the fizz, it loses a little bit of something. You want to get that citrus and make it active. So even if you want it more active, add club soda into it. Just add a seltzer.
Right.
Add a San Pellegrino with no flavor in it.
Right.
And you're going to get a sparkling type of
vibe.
Okay? That is my, if I cover those spirits, that's where I like to use gin. That's how I like to use it, and that's how I like to use tequila.
Yeah.
Lastly, rum and whiskey. I'm going to tell you that if you've never had a perfectly balanced Arnold Palmer iced tea, lemonade, and whiskey in it, it's a magical summer drink. The brown in the tea complements the whiskey beautifully. Hmm. It's almost like having a whiskey sour.
Right, right.
Right? But you get the added benefit of the smoothness of the tea. And I will tell you, if you're going to do that, if you're going to use whiskey in your whiskey lemonade, I will tell you that the one modifier I think is a must is called allspice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Allspice liqueur adds a body and balances the citrus to my taste beautifully. And from that, you can add mint and you can add some other little garnishes that you want to. But I will say to you that the allspice is a way to deepen the flavor of the whiskey. Deepen the flavor of the overall profile of the lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, as you're making one big sour, what I love about it is that it comes with the natural sugars of the whiskey. And I like to use rye.
Yeah.
Okay. I like to use rye whiskey. And I will mix that with a little bit of that allspice. And I got to tell you, it is a smooth summer deep. For you whiskey lovers, you'll love that version of the lemonade.
So let's say you're making a gallon pitcher.
Yep.
With the whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the parts.
So it's four, let's just say it's four parts lemonade.
Right.
One part water.
Okay.
Two parts alcohol.
Okay.
No more than that.
Okay.
You start to get, even the two parts gets a little boozy.
Right.
Like, you've got to watch the intensity. And a lot of this does happen to deal, it does happen to involve what the proof of the, you got
of course
spirits at different proofs.
Right.
Right. This is very true for rums, which I was going to cover next.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
When it comes to the rum lemonades, to make them feel tropical, a lot of people, a lot of the drink recipes will add things like Oregon syrup, coconut, mm-hmm. things like that. I will
pineapple.
Tell you where I like the rum. Yeah, I will add pineapple. That's where I was going next.
Sorry.
I will tell you that if you're going to use rum, make sure you put in pineapple.
Yeah.
In the rum. And I have to say, if you buy a really good dark rum, I don't recommend the lighter rums. I just think that they lose something. Mm. I recommend a darker rum.
Sure. Okay.
If you have, you know, if you want to do a lighter rum, you can. It just, you might as well drink the vodka lemonade at that point.
Right.
But
spiced rum.
The sweet, yeah, spiced rum is
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the deeper rums I find are fantastic. And I will say that when you are able to use them the right way, that pineapple sets that rum off.
Sure.
And imagine coming into a party and having a lemonade with a vodka, a lemonade that's a little mesquite / smokier with tequila. Then you've got one that's an Arnold Palmer mixed with whiskey. And then you've got a rum one that's a little bit more tropical. Easy to make. A lot of these are one spirit, right? They're one spirit ads.
Right.
In those percentages.
Right.
Right? I think the hardest part of today's show was you going to the grocery store. Okay. Minus the cutting of the fruit. Okay.
Right.
To be able to give you your garnish. I just laid out the perfect buffet for you to enjoy at any summer party. You want to make two, make two. I wouldn't make one. Make a couple. Give right. people choice.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and you make all four of those that you just suggested. Nobody is unhappy.
Here's what you I would, the find... reason I would make four of them is because these pitchers with the tops on them, they're not huge.
No.
Okay. This is why I'm getting you off of the Gatorade, right, with the spigot on it. Okay?
And no big red solo cups because...
Yeah, we're better.
Well,
we're better than
that, and better. Your pitcher of lemonade is not going to go very far.
And I'm not, listen, I'm just saying if you want to use plastic clear cups, that's fine.
Perfect.
I'm just saying that, like, there's nothing more enjoyable than a full cup of ice, a beautifully poured, well-balanced lemonade mm-hmm. with a fun garnish on it to just get the party started and also keep it going, okay? When you think summer, think lemonades, okay? Listen, have a great Sunday, everybody. I really appreciate you joining me right here on The Design Coach, Lake 96.1 and Spotify, and brought to you by Laser Electric. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.